And good evening and welcome to the Green Slot. This is Ten Radio and I'm Alison Court, and this evening we've got three guests with us in the studio, and I will just introduce them to you. So over the other side of the studio I've got Aaron. Hi Aaron.
Hello.
Hello. And Aaron's come over to us today from Selworthy School, is it? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Selworthy School. And opposite to the left I've got Ruth Irvin. Hi Ruth, thanks for coming.
Hi Alison.
Hiya. And then here right next to me I've got Polly Pring.
Hi. Hello.
Polly.
Hi.
And they've all come along this evening to talk about Forest School education, of which they've all got various experiences of. And I also should start by saying thanks to our sponsors, Milverton Stores. And just say a little bit about what we're going to talk about this evening. So last time I did a little program about education outdoors was back at the end of the summer, and we had a great time talking to year two students and Sarah Longmuir about their vegetable growing project outside, and very positive experiences and very good vegetables actually. This evening we're going to talk to Polly Pring, who is a year four teacher, that's right, isn't it Polly?
Mm-hmm.
up at the school, and is very involved in the Forest School education program up there, as are Ruth and Aaron with the children at Selworthy School, that they're going to tell us a little bit about later on. So without further ado, we will move on to our first track, and they've all brought tracks in this evening, and the first one is for Lucas, Ruth's youngest son. And now Lucas, after this you have to go to bed, okay? This is your track just for you, but you need to go to bed afterwards. Okay, so this, do you want to introduce it, Ruth? I can't remember what it's called now.
This is I Want to Be a Billionaire.
I Want to Be a Billionaire. Now, I think I know the track, but I'm going to just play it and see.
I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shiny lights. Yeah, a different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire.
Yeah, I would have a show like Oprah. I would be the host of Everyday Christmas. Give Travis a wish list. I'd probably pull an Angelina and Brad Pitt and adopt a bunch of babies that ain't never had. Give away a few Mercedes like, here lady, have this. And last but not least, grant somebody their last wish. It's been a couple months that I've been single, so you can call me Travis Claus, minus the ho-ho. Get it? I'd probably visit with Katrina hit, and damn sure do a lot more than FEMA did. Yeah, can't forget about me, stupid. Everywhere I go, I'ma have my own theme music.
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
what you see, bro?
I see my name in shiny lights.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What up?
A different city every night. Oh,
yeah.
I swear, the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire.
With the president, dunking on his delegates, then I compliment him on his political etiquette. Toss a couple million the air just for the heck of it, but keep the 520 tins and bins completely separate. Yeah, I'd be in a whole new tax bracket. We in recession, but let me take a crack at it. I'd probably take whatever's left and just split it up, so everybody that I love can have a couple bucks. And not a single tummy around me would know what hungry was, eating good, sleeping soundly. I know we all have a similar dream. Go in your pocket, pull out your wallet, put it in the air and sing.
I
wanna be a billionaire so freaking bad.
So bad.
Buy all of the things I never had.
Buy everything.
I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
What up, Oprah?
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
what you see? What you see, bro?
I see my name in shiny lights.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What else?
A different city every night. Be a billionaire, so freaking bad.
Well, there we are, Lucas, off to bed now. That was I Want to Be a Billionaire. So back to the matter in hand. So Forest School and Outdoor Education. I just had a quick scan on the internet and had a look to see what, you know, what is current research, current thinking on Forest School, what are people saying about it. They were all very positive. The first thing I learnt was that concept of forest schools came originally from Sweden in the 50s and then was adopted by other Scandinavian and European countries, and that the government had a manifesto in 2006 called Learning Outside the Classroom, which acknowledged the importance of experiencing a world beyond the classroom as an essential part of learning and personal development. Some of the comments that I picked out from that report said that the personal development in terms of raised self-confidence were widely thought to be very positive, increased independence, self-esteem, sense of achievement, obviously brilliant with practical skills, construction, woodworking, conservation techniques. And then I guess related to perhaps older children, adolescents, things like reduction in drug dependence, in truancy, probation periods. So it was all very positive. And actually, I'll just quickly say that I went into the school this week just to help out in Ella's class with Mrs. Nation for an hour, and they did a fantastic experiment, science experiment on shade and shadows and light. And she sat them down in the classroom and spoke to them about, you know, shadows and light and, you know, the way the earth moves, and they were all really attentive. And then after a few minutes I could see them kind of shuffling around, and, you know, she was doing really well trying to hold their attention. And then she took them outside, you know, to actually measure how the light moved, and she gave them compasses, and it was fantastic, you know. And some of the children that had been a little bit more kind of reserved in the class and maybe weren't answering so many questions, just suddenly, you know, there was a big change. And without even realizing it, I'd already witnessed a very positive aspect of taking education outside, or maybe just doing something different. So anyway, I'll stop waffling on, but that was very positive. And I'll hand over to Polly. Polly, you've been at the school doing Forest School this year. That's right, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But have a background in Forest School from other places. But first of all, just quickly, I mean, how did you get into teaching, and then what led you to Forest School?
Well, I started off running the playgroup in Milverton. We're going back now to the early 90s. And then when my children went on to primary school, I wondered about what I was going to do next. I qualified to be a teacher during 2008. And during that time, I also did my Forest School training. And I just found that was where I really wanted to, the kind of work I was really wanting to be doing.
Yeah, and so do you spend a lot of time outdoors yourself, you know, with your own children? Is that where it kind of stemmed from?
I used to, yes. Yeah. Since I've been teaching full-time, I spend a lot less time outside. But no, yes, I mean, I do. My whole way of life is as an outdoor-based lifestyle. And as a family, we're very lucky because we actually own a bit of woodland local to here. So when I was first doing Forest School locally, I was working with Milverton School, and we were able to actually take the children up to the woodland.
Brilliant.
So that's something that I'm hoping we'll be able to extend at Wivliscombe in the future.
Excellent. So taking them up into the woodland.
Yeah.
Great. Excellent. Oh, very good. So What kind of projects do the children get involved in when they're working adults? I mean, I guess, yeah, what kind of things generally do you do?
Since I've been working at with Liscombe School, I've worked with children from year six.
Okay.
And now my own class, year
four.
How old
are they?
Year six children are the ones who are about to go on to secondary school, so they're 10 and 11.
10 and 11, yeah.
And that was a fantastic project. That was an after-school club. Mm. But what I did find is that the ones who wanted to do it really enjoyed it. Everyone who joined the club really got into it and loved it. And we run Forest School on a Thursday night, which traditionally clashes with football at Wiverliscombe, which isn't intentional in terms of not letting the footballers do Forest School.
No.
But it does mean that children who quite often don't do an after-school club do come
to
Forest School.
So just by default, they've kind of...
So we got maybe a slightly different group of children. And I was interested in that aspect because when I was running the group at Milverton School, we were working specifically with a nurture group. So I actually had two children. It was in school time there.
Mm.
And I had two children from each of the Key Stage 2 year groups.
A mixed stage group.
Nurture group. So you mentioned about the self-esteem, the raising of self-esteem and confidence. That's one thing that Forest School has been proven to be really successful for.
Fantastic.
So that was the way we did that first project at Milverton. And we took children, exactly as you were saying, the children who didn't really flourish in the classroom.
Yeah.
And it did, the six-week project that I ran with them did seem to really improve their confidence, and they became much more vocal in the classroom on their return from the Forest School project. So that was really good.
What a sense of achievement you must have had, though,
absolutely.
To see that. That's really, what a great
job. And
certainly
the feedback from the children at Wiverliscombe has all been, they just wanted more of it.
Yeah.
And I'm delighted to say that we are looking at how we can put it into the school curriculum rather than it being an after-school club.
Well, that's the ideal,
so
I guess,
exciting.
To have it integrated
Absolutely,
into any subject, I guess.
And that way then there's access to all children as well, which to my mind is terribly important.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, brilliant. That's going to be really interesting. Watch the time. Okay, so we've already talked about the Forest School Club at primary school and generally the reaction of the children, very positive.
I mean, I'm now working with my own year group, so I've got some of the children from my own class this year, and again, I mean, you just see a side of the children that you don't necessarily see in the classroom.
Yeah.
And it's a lot to do with how they work with each other. Forest School is very much about child-led activities, children making decisions for themselves in a safe environment.
Yes.
So high staff ratios and things allow the children a lot of freedom.
Yeah.
Which is good.
I think
you asked about what activities I do with them, and we have this year
You're better at this than I.
Really developing.
It's keeping me on track with the interviewing.
I just did want to say though, because we have been really developing the use of fixed blade knives and axes and things, and teaching the children how to use tools safely and for purpose, which is I think that's a very valuable thing to do. And the children really love it. Children who've never used a knife really understand about how they can whittle with it. And with the axe, we were just putting points on pegs for making the seating safe and that kind of thing. So that's been
excellent.
Really good.
But really good, useful, practical skills.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you mentioned staffing. Is it a high ratio of staff that you need then in...
It does vary from setting to setting, but ideally, the higher the staff ratio, the better. We try to work with about a 1-to-4 ratio. So it's what you would expect in a Key Stage 1 or reception class.
Right.
But it is so the children all have the opportunity to really get the most out of their experience and they're not left waiting for attention.
Yeah, okay, brilliant. So my next question was... What have been the most surprising aspects of the Forest School experience for you?
Really, the most surprising thing is it's the sort of the cardboard box syndrome. If you give children a really fantastic planned activity, the thing they actually want to play with is something completely different. And this year, what I found with my year fours is the thing they love more than anything else is sliding down the bank in the mud. Their parents don't love it quite so much. But we've had several occasions now when we've gone out with all sorts of different activities planned, and the staff who helped me run the club have been primed to know what they're up to and everything. And we've just sat around the fire circle watching the kids throwing themselves down the bank. So.
Excellent. Oh, that's great. Oh, very good. Yes. Oh, dear. So do you think, you sort of mentioned... a little bit maybe about the primary school increasing the Forest School, but do you think there may be more scope for schools in general to use Forest School techniques in the future? Or?
I wish I could say yes and really believe it and mean it. I certainly wish there could be, but as with so many of these things, there are two massive barriers to Forest School being properly integrated with the curriculum. One is money and time, I suppose. And then the other is actually accessibility to woodland. Transport is always an issue, getting children out, the time it takes to get the children out to the woodland, and it's a real big issue for schools who really want to take it on board. And we're really lucky with Liscombe Primary, and also at Milverton it was the same thing, where the grounds actually lent themselves very nicely to doing a lot of outdoor education and Forest School type activities in the school grounds.
Yes.
But when you look into the actual philosophy of Forest School, part of the magic for the children is coming off-site and going into the woodland, because that environment is a very special environment in its own right. So that's what we miss, and that's what we look forward to finding a way of getting.
Yes.
But it's a difficult thing, and certainly if you're thinking about access to all children, it's
really
an impossible thing to believe.
I guess
you can do.
We are quite lucky here, aren't we? I mean, if you think, even just in the middle of Taunton, it's going to be more difficult, isn't it, to get children out and about. So unfortunately, we couldn't come in to interview the children. Perhaps we'll do that at some other point, because it did work really well, I know, before. Have you managed to get any feedback from the children about the club?
I haven't brought anything written down or anything.
When I
worked with the Year Sixes last year, I did do a feedback form at the end of the programme, because it's always useful for me to see what they do say to how I can improve my provision as well. And basically, it was they wanted more fires, more cooking around the fire, more mudsliding. but they loved it, and they all wanted more. So it's very positive feedback. I've never actually had a child who hasn't enjoyed the experience. I had one child who'd never been into a woodland before, and they were very frightened on their first outing. And they were very frightened about what they would meet in the woodland, and they didn't really believe me when I said that native English woodland is actually a very safe environment, and there was really nothing to be very frightened of. And we talked about stinging nettles and brambles and those sorts of hazards. And by the third outing, they had really found their feet and were as happy as any of the other children in that environment.
Brilliant.
And I think there is a huge change with the way children are brought up these days, partly because of the increase of technology toys and partly because of the fears around stranger danger and falling out of trees and things.
Yes.
That actually a lot of young people don't have the experience of playing outdoors. And it's now a generational thing that their parents may not have had that experience. And I'm old enough to be of the generation where we all played outside all the time when we were young.
Yes.
So it's a very different way of life, I think, for a lot of rural people as well as urban people.
Yes, that is interesting. I mean, just as an aside, I heard a report this week about vitamin D deficiency in children because they weren't getting enough sunlight.
Absolutely.
Well, partly because of, the games, but partly because of sunblock. But anyway, so it's just a whole kind of can of worms, really. That's interesting. I know what I've heard of the Naroche project. Is that something that you're linked to? Is that
Aaron, we're both linked with that through what we call the Cluster Group, which is a fantastic organisation, actually. I'm glad you've given the opportunity to mention it, actually, because I'm the kind of email contact for that group.
Okay.
And it's a fantastic forum for anybody who is interested or who is already working in Forest School to network with other people in the local area who are doing the same sort of thing.
Okay.
So we can give out my email address at the end of the show, if you like, so people can contact me if they want to.
So that's a project for anyone, for teachers.
Well, it's not really a project, but it's a cluster group. So we have meetings about, I don't know, maybe twice a term or so.
Okay.
And it's just a group of us who get together to keep the sort of home fires burning, really, and to keep astride with the new developments in Forest School and to help people getting started. To find groups to work with and all of that kind of thing. So that's really good, and that was funded originally by the Naroche project, so we're very grateful to them for helping us get that going.
Thanks for that. That's really interesting. I'm sure we'll join in the discussion later on with Aaron and Ruth as well, but so you're listening to the Green Slot on 10 Radio, and you are very welcome to email us, studio@tenradio.org, or you can telephone us, 01984 624 137, and tell us what you think about Forest Schools, or tell us if you've had any experiences yourself of Forest School, or your children for that matter. So without further ado, Polly, you brought along a track by the Waterboys.
Yep, this is the Waterboys, This Is the Sea.
This Is the Sea, okay. And so there we are. Let's see if I can make it all work. Here we go.
Thank you. yours if you hurry. You got still enough time. And you don't need no ticket. And you don't pay no fee. Now you don't need no ticket. You don't pay no fee. Because that was the river. And this is the sea. That was a river. This is the sea. That was the river. This is the sea. That was the river.
Great, that was the Water Boys. Thank you very much for that, Polly. Good track. So we're going to introduce our next guests, Ruth and Aaron. Thanks for coming along. So tell us where you come from and what you do.
Well, we both work at Selworthy Specialist School, which is a school that specialises in learning difficulties and physical difficulties. Pupils with physical difficulties from 4 to 19, and we've been running for a school there for 3 years now, and rent a local woodland from the Forestry Commission for peppercorn rent, and it's going really well actually. And Ruth, who lives in Willis Liscombe, she's one of my very keen first schoolers.
How long have you been?
I've been doing it since 3 years ago.
Yeah. 3 years ago.
Tend to go up about once a week, really. A class goes up. One class goes up 4 days a week.
Three into the woodlands, and then two of the more disabled children. They have programs in the school grounds and sensory stories as well.
Okay.
So could be managed to train three forest school leaders now.
Brilliant.
And had a lot of support from the Emerge Project, and it's been great. Yeah.
Excellent. So it is a forest school for children with learning and physical disabilities.
Really
good.
We've got two sites, so they're accessible to everybody, aren't they? There's one site that's quite well hidden in the forest and tends to be used more for the older children who've got, you know, can get up there a lot easier. Then there's a bigger site which is more accessible for wheelchairs.
And we got some lads from St Augustine School to help us build a wheelchair ramp out of logs. And,
brilliant.
So it's been some really nice links.
Yeah.
Lots of volunteers and parents have come up and helped us. And we're hoping to get more and more woodlands. Hopefully at Hestigham, which is Hestigham Gardens up there. It's really working. It's just about taking the school outside, really, and achieving all their curriculum in the woodlands. And we find it's a great leveller that everyone can achieve something out there. And, because we're running from reception class, they get used to the idea of being outside. And because a lot of the children we work with, people are scared of taking them outside or scared of letting them run around and learning by falling over or, you know, don't touch that plant, it'll sting you.
Yes.
But that's where we all, that's the most basic form of education is learning by doing.
Mm.
And, so we've seen a lot of progress, especially physically and emotionally from, all the children we've taken out.
Brilliant.
Great.
In fact, last week, one of the 8-year-old little girls came across some berries in the forest and said to her TA, mustn't eat berries, they're bad berries, mustn't eat the berries. So it's amazing how they do take it in and pick it up and remember it, don't they?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. I bet you've got loads of anecdotes, haven't you?
Yeah.
But what? How many children do you cater for at the school?
68 children at school.
The leavers class don't go up to the Forest School site, do they? But they have a classroom based at Hestercombe.
Okay, and this is where you're hoping to expand the programme.
Yeah, so we have one classroom at Hestercombe. They go alternate weeks, don't they? Because it's quite a big year group.
Because we didn't have enough classroom space.
We didn't have enough classroom space. No. Some of you got too popular. So yeah, it's quite nice that they're up there doing lots of outdoor learning as well, aren't they? Which is really positive and good.
Excellent. Okay. Wow. So, and the children come from far and wide. Do they get referred
all over
from
Somerset?
Somerset.
Yeah, they come in on transport, so they all get picked up from home and and brought into school.
And we're very lucky because we have three minibuses,
two people carriers.
Mm-hmm. Transport is it can be a bit of a headache. Yeah, cleaning out the buses mostly.
Cleaning out the buses after the Forest School. Yeah,
But we're very lucky in that respect. We can the Woodlands we're using at the moment is about 15 minutes drive away, which is on the verge of how far you'd really want to go for Forest School. But the Hestercombe site would be a lot closer and more accessible to the more profoundly disabled children.
Okay, wow, that sounds great. So. Has the school always been a Forest School?
No. Just 3 years. I mean, they used somewhere called Burnworthy Outdoor Learning Centre for a while, but unfortunately that was a private company and it folded. I was working there at the time.
They go up to Cannington College and do sort of farming skills, don't they, and stuff like that, which I think they've been doing for quite a few years, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But as far as the Forest School thing, a couple of people tried to to start Forest School just before I came, but I just got lucky really and found some nice woodlands that were really suitable and so I made myself a job there, I guess. And,
brilliant. So you actually bought the Forest School programme to the school?
Well, we'd done with the Burnworthy and they had a taste of it, really wanted it.
Yeah,
they employed a couple of people who didn't manage to kick it off the ground because it's quite hard thing to get off the ground, obviously. But I just came along at the right time. I had quite a lot of experience working in care work and autistic people, and so it just everything fell in place. I think it's the right person, the right time, and the right school because they've given us
brilliant.
A lot of support.
Yeah, because, I mean, are these types of schools in every county or does it just depend on...
There's a number of them. Elmwood in Bridgewater, they've been running for a school at a place called Hewish Woods, and a lovely lady called Linda, and she came to Burnworthy for training, and she's been running about 5 years now.
Okay, so that's another one in Somerset.
Yeah. It's not more popular, isn't it? People are starting to realise that it does make a difference to the way the children learn.
And there's one in, not Bridgewater, the Yeovil. They've just started. Do you know that one?
Okay.
No,
in Somerset, that's already three then.
Cannington College
they're for school leavers, aren't they? They use the Forest School techniques as well.
Brilliant.
And obviously Bridgewater College, which was where it kind of all started. The British Forest School movement started from a team in Bridgewater going over to Denmark and bringing it back over. They won lots of Queen's Excellence Awards, and that was about 15 years ago now, so it's
it's kind of a hotbed in Somerset, really. For
Somerset
the
is the place to be for
Forest roots
School
of the program. Roots of the program. Oh, very good. So, I mean, tell us about a typical day. What would you do?
It can be totally different, can't it?
Yeah. Like okay,
we
not a typical day.
From 4 to 19. So if the four-year-olds go up there, it tends to be...
Well, it's getting them in the bus.
It's really getting them in the bus is a start, and getting them all up there
kitting
happy
them out,
with wellies on and waterproof trousers, which the school have provided waterproof trousers for the children, which is brilliant. And they tend to...
Best bit of kids.
We go up there and they all go and pick firewood. And with the littlies, we tend to take them for a walk. There's quite a lot of There's a big lake and there's a big field to walk around, and like last week we took a kite up, didn't we, and flew the kite.
Fantastic.
Whereas
science forces emotions.
And then we took that box, but what better way,
exactly,
you know,
exactly,
to show them.
Well, there wasn't much wind though, was there?
Well, that's a learning.
I don't think it did.
No. And then we, they do food preparation. We make the lunch on the fire.
A lot of it is about food. It's a really, it's a great, great way of motivation. And science again, changing materials, all sorts of things.
And using the knives and learning how not to cut yourself when you're cutting up the vegetables and things. They quite like cooking on the fire, don't they? And you know, occasionally we'll have marshmallows out and toast marshmallows, and they like that.
Yeah, lots of the classes are doing global links, and so we cook tortillas and curry.
Well, last Christmas we cooked a whole Christmas dinner up there.
We did.
Fact.
Wow, that is impressive.
Yeah.
Two chickens. Yeah, and the 19-year-olds are a bit more. You know, they're learning how to use the tools, aren't they, and how to make tables and
The great thing is that they can make the camp, and the little ones can use it. It's a whole school theme about that.
But I want Aaron to tell you about the camping experience up there as well, because it was brilliant.
Was it 2 years ago now?
2 years ago.
Yeah, we got the only 15 hours of dry weather in the whole
that
of
was the
July.
Summer of 2009.
I really believe in the power of prayer now. And it's great. We had canvas tents and group, they had because all the groups, I mean, ideally come out for 36 weeks,
right,
one day a week for 36 weeks, and this was the end of this class's first year. And
were they not about, they were aged about 9 and 10, weren't they, at the time?
And we had a couple of parents come out.
And
we went on a midnight walk, didn't we?
We did.
And
I think I'd left.
Saw glowworm.
Fantastic.
Went down to the lake. Yeah. That was a good day. It was a good night.
Got up and had 5 breakfast.
Yeah, and it was amazing.
Got to say, I left at about 10 o'clock at night. Me and Lucas went and helped put the tents up and set it all up, and then we left. And I was so glad seeing the staff the next day at school. I was so glad I'd
We were very, very tired, yes. But we got
little
up and cooked
out.
a fried breakfast.
Fried breakfast,
and,
yeah.
It was
kids
wonderful.
Loved it though, didn't they? They all really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, it's a great thing. Yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant. Well, perhaps should we have a little bit of music and then come back to hear about some more of your experiences? So this is the next track, Ruth,
I can't remember that. So Everyone's Got to Learn Sometime by someone.
By someone. Let's listen to Everyone's Got to Learn Sometime by someone. If I can just hit the right button, we should be able to do it.
Change your heart, look around you. Change your heart, it will astound you.
There we are, and that was Everybody's Gotta Learn Sometime. And we just couldn't remember the original artists of that song, but I do remember it in the 80s. If anybody knows, then ring in and let us know. You're listening to The Green Slot on Ten Radio on 105.3 FM, streaming on the internet at tenradio.org. Do email us, studio@tenradio.org, or phone us on 01984 624137. I'm Alison Court, and we've got Ruth Irvin and Aaron
Hawker
and Polly Pring, and this evening we've been talking about education outdoors and the Forest School programs in Wiveliscombe and Selworthy, which is where Ruth and Aaron work. So we're just hearing some great stories about a camping trip and the things they've been doing there and the wonderful effect it's had on the children and the way in which they learn. And perhaps I'll just briefly say, because I didn't mention this before, was about the Steiner Group here in Wiveliscombe that's been going, well, for about 15 years. But more recently, they've got funding and they have a yurt based up at Abbotsfield in an orchard. And it's fantastic. And when you were just talking about fires and, you know, all the kind of thing that, well, I used to do when I was going there with my children, but sadly they're too old to go now, and I can't go anymore. But I could visit. But it's just wonderful, and it's so different, especially, yeah, I don't know, you can just see the difference. We were based in a scout hut, you know, for years, which was great, you know, but outside is a whole different world for the children, you know, and immediately they got there and they'd colonised an area and made it into a pirate ship, you know, it's a big log and they had a bit of rope and, you know, that is the pirate ship now, and it's just wonderful. Anyway, I won't go on about that too much, but if anyone is interested in going along to the Steiner Group, Four Seasons Playgroup, it's on every Monday between 10 and 12. And I'll give out Barbara's phone number, which is because Barbara is involved in the group. Barbara, Barbara Edwards, it's 624137. So if you need any information, do call her. So back to Ruth and Aaron. So it sounds wonderful. I just sort of to give people an idea, you know, of the difference, because you do have some classroom time as well, maybe indoors or not
with the Forest School.
But
no,
you have experience of, yeah. What I mean, what are the sort of differences that you notice?
Well, I don't do indoors, so I'm going to have to hand over to Ruth.
I think, you know, like you say about, you know, the pirate ship, it brings out their imagination, which is absolutely lovely to see, you know. Classroom, they're expected to, well, they're not really expected to sit down and work because they won't all do that, but
yeah,
it just, the freedom, isn't it, really? Mm. You know, they can wander a little bit. I mean, we're very fortunate in the fact that we're one-on-one at Southworthy School more often than not, so there's a lot of staff around.
Yeah.
So the children have a lot of freedom to be able to just roam, really.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I had a lovely quote by a headmaster I was working with, was teaching is limited by your own knowledge, but learning is infinite. And that's really what we're there to do, is just provide a safe place, or safe-ish as possible, place for them to experience and learn themselves and direct their learning and report on their learning and, just take the lead from the where the children want to.
They very much lead it, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah.
And at the end of each session, you know, we have the talking stick, which is passed around the circle, and they have to talk about what they've enjoyed that day and what they'd like to do next time. And
yeah,
you know, so that Aaron's got some idea of what they want to do, really.
Mm. So it really is led by the children. I mean,
totally led by
the children. Yeah, we do a lot of planning, kind of, but yeah, as Polly says, it usually goes out of the bus
mud sliding. We heard about earlier.
Yeah.
Oh, brilliant. Excellent. So, have you got any other experiences you want to tell us about that come to mind? Your experiences at
the thing is with me, I've been working with autism for a long time. That's where I first started taking children. I was or young adults actually. Where I was working with to a forest school in Wales, and just seeing the incredible difference it made. And The great thing about that, because it's very hard in the classroom to really get them out of a routine, but if you're out in the woodlands, it's always changing.
Just thinking, unless you forget the marshmallows.
Yes, I definitely have to make sure I've got lots of marshmallows in my pockets. But you can get enough routine in there. They're going to the same place, they're lighting a fire, they're making hot chocolates. But the fact that the environment's changing all around them is giving them that sense of inevitable change that everyone needs to have. And so it's been really great, especially for me, seeing, children that wouldn't walk on mud sit next to a fire actually will, accept it. And for that's the whole ethos of Forest School, is regular contact with woodland or similar outdoor environment. And so they get a sense of ownership, they get more and more comfortable. The adults around them get more and more comfortable, and so allow them that more freedom. And that's seeing the staff's changing attitude.
Yes, that's something we haven't talked about either. It must be really, really lovely.
Because the nature of disabilities is, I'm afraid, you are mollycoddled sometimes. And kids only learn by mostly experience. And if they're being cosseted so much that they don't get that experience, they'll never learn. So how can a child respect fire if they're not ever allowed to be near fire?
And knives and things as well. I mean, we've got a boy at school who you know, a lot of people would think don't give him a knife, and actually you give him the tools to do it. And he made a washing up stand, didn't he, for the washing up bowl and things.
Yes.
You know, and
it's got a
let
purpose.
Him have a saw.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's
watch
a reason.
Him while he's using it, obviously, but you know, let him try it. But then we have things like, we have a hammock set up there, so if they want to go and lie down and swing, they can do that. We've got a rope swing, haven't we?
I bet you were on the ropes swinging in the hammock group, knowing you.
It is good fun, Alison, I'm not going to lie. Haven't quite made it into the hammock yet, but you know, the ropes.
But isn't that great though?
And the great thing is there's enough space. It's not like you're hemmed in by four. So if they are having a hard time, or, you know, we don't have to exclude them from the classroom, because the classroom is the whole woodlands. And they can just wander off and have that time alone, or, you know, as a swing in the hand.
We're quite lucky with the woodland we've got, haven't we?
We're very lucky. I'm going to have to big up people from the Rose Project who have really supported us. It's been a great project that's been run by the Forestry Commission for the last 3 years. Fortunately, they've just run out of funding. They had big lottery funding. But they've trained maybe 40 teachers in Taunton, Black Down Hills area.
Wonderful.
And they've opened up a trail called the Here Path, which is 13 miles around the Black Down Hills. And they've had a woodland cattle project and run a number of sessions.
I took my boys up to a storytelling in the woods, which was just absolutely brilliant. And, you know, to take your own children up there and see the difference in them is just incredible, really.
Yeah.
I mean, my boys are outdoor boys, but they just loved it.
Still like their Xbox, don't they?
We did, with one of the classes, we did a walk through down the river, didn't we, which involved me getting very wet.
Yeah.
But the kids loved it. I mean, you know, they fell over and they just laughed. So, I mean, the laughter, it was a day full of laughter, wasn't it, really?
Brilliant.
It's making learning
brilliant.
Fun, really.
Absolutely, it's
the aim of it all, really.
But
the New Age Project, unfortunately, as I say, they've just run out of funding, but they really supported us at Selworthy and helped us set up the woodlands. And hopefully there'll be people will take it on and there'll be more projects like that. But they've done a number of bushcraft days, and feedback from that is people coming out and just saying, I didn't realise I could do this. Again, Polly was talking about the generational thing, and I think, we have lost the link with nature over the last couple of generations for stranger danger, too many cars on the road, whatever it is. We're teaching, it's a real need for projects teaching parents or carers to play outdoors with their children. We're going to lose it quite quickly unless we do have that kind of thing. So it's great to hear about the Steiner thing and the outdoor thing and all that.
And the other project, I was just thinking about you saying about learning how to play again, is I know that Learning from the Land, Nikki Saunter and Frank Blaker and George Aykroyd, who set up a project at Secret Meadow, which is out at Weekmore near Milverton, and they did a day the other day, and it was about learning to play, and I think they had fire outside and stuff and various other things. So there are a lot of good things going on, and it was like fire, we were saying while we were listening to the listening to the music, Polly, that you know there are now 40 teachers and they're out there and they can now take the initiative to. Perhaps run their own days.
Yes. And one of the things we were saying in the break was obviously for people like myself who are working full-time during term time anyway, we're not necessarily the right people to offer the opportunities for weekend and holiday schemes.
Sure.
But through the cluster group, there are lots of other independent people. Some of them are trained teachers and all of them are qualified as forest school leaders.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are running their own businesses now, providing opportunities for individuals or groups. And so that's a really good... a good opportunity for people more and more.
That's brilliant. Just think a play scheme or something in the summer would be really good.
Yeah, and that's one thing we really need to go. Yeah, because there's such a need for it. And working with families is my favourite. I've worked with some women's refuge children as well, and because it really changes the adults' perception of their children and vice versa as well.
So working in family groups is really good.
Yeah.
I was involved in a project down in Crediton, a Devon-based project, and that was absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I know I went on a day with the Eco Youth Group, actually, with Ella. It was Wildside Education. It was Richard White and
Kate Whiteside,
I think they're called. Nice. And we had a great day, Richard and Alison. Yes, same as my husband's called Richard as well. Anyway, there we are. We met them. We were like, "Real Richard and Alison? Are we Richard?" Anyway, we had a great day there, and you know, they had us blindfolded, walking around in bare feet. It was really cold. We had a great time sitting there, just listening. You know, how often can you sit still and just listen to things? It was just amazing, and the calm that comes over you. It was great. Lots more of that, I think.
Yeah. I think the dual bands of it. I think some teachers say to me, "Oh, we can't do it all. We can't take on this, you know, outdoor thing because we're just teachers." But I think we, because of the whole lack of nature in people's lives, we do as formal educators.
I mean, it fits into every bit of the curriculum, doesn't it? You know, you can make it fit somewhere.
Mm. But there is a real need for that holiday stuff. And as Polly says, we. In the education system, we tend to like our holidays too much.
No, it's brilliant. Oh, well, it just sounds wonderful. I mean, we haven't. It's something that came to mind briefly. I mean, what do you have when you have like behavioural problems or issues outside, which it sounds like you have less of? And what kind of things crop up apart from you swinging in the hammock roof?
Yeah. She's the worst.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, the great thing is that it's rather than throw a chair through. I mean, I work with naughty teenagers as well. It's a different job. But the thing is, in a classroom, they might pick up a chair and throw it at a window.
Yeah.
There's no windows.
No,
I suppose
no
it does
chairs,
limit the amount.
And they can chop logs or something,
can't they?
And they can get all of that aggression out in a very positive way.
We play a lot of wide games. But there's always the option of just going away from
having time
but
out.
But you find the quiet ones get louder and the louder ones get quieter.
That's quiet in the woods.
Right.
Seeing is believing.
Oh. Well, I tell you, that's been absolutely fascinating, and it's brilliant to hear about all the great things you're doing, all of you. And thank you very much for coming along. So that's been the Green Slot, and thank you to Aaron and Ruth and Polly.
Thank you. Welcome.
And next week, I think we've got, you're welcome, we've got James Grishif doing the Green Slot, so do tune into him. And we are going to finish. Do you want to introduce this track, Polly? And tell me what you said about it. It was just lovely.
Okay, so
Margaret,
this is my second song, which is it's a Newton Faulkner song from his first album, which is Hand Built by Robots. And I think it's called Comfortably Slow, but it's a great song. And what I was saying was that the Waterboys is music that I've given to my children, but Newton Faulkner is music that they have given to me.
Oh, great. Well, I can't wait to hear it. And thank you for listening.
Okay.
Traveling again, I know exactly how it's gonna end. The routine daydream starts as I get up. I'm holding up the queue because my ticket won't go through. I know it should be simple, but it's not. So don't take my photograph, 'cause I don't wanna know how it looks to feel like this as cars and people pass. It feels like standing still, but I know I'm just moving uncomfortably slow. Yeah, slow. Something's gotta change. I know I'm lucky in a lot of ways. So why do I want more than what I have? Brace myself to hear the lies. I wonder if they know that I don't get the jokes, but I just need to laugh. So don't take my photograph, 'cause I don't wanna know how it looks to feel like this as cars and people pass. It feels like standing still, but I know I'm just moving uncomfortably slow. There's infinite detail when you break it down. It all becomes simple how it all becomes clearer now. So don't take my photograph, 'cause I don't wanna know how it looks to feel like this as cars and people pass. It feels like standing still, but I know I'm just moving subconsciously. One day I guess I'll be the man that you think you see. I'm just moving uncomfortably slow. Yeah, slow.
When summer's green falls golden brown, the border heart's roused. These hands that turn the stone to soil and laying down the plough. As the last night of September flies to meet the winter snows, they gather as the ember dies till bonnet lands and bones. Shake loose the border, we'll shake the border loose. It's murder black in murder's rack, we'll shake the border loose. Shake loose the border, we'll shake the border loose. It's murder black in murder's rack, we'll shake the border loose. Through Kielder's edge to one man's land, his cattle strong to drive. 400 head like grazing low, the ground hard, fast and dry. No moon to light the reaver's path, still none to shine on steel. Close by his side a blade he knows another man must feel. Shake loose the border, we'll shake the border loose. It's murder black in murder's rack, we'll shake the border loose. Shake loose the border, we'll shake the border loose. It's murder black in murder's rack, we'll shake the border loose.